bless you, Cindy. Amen. That's good. I haven't heard that song. That's beautiful. Amen. Sounds like people knew the Lord we didn't know anything about. Amen. We don't know everything, do we? Amen. Would you turn with me in your Bible this morning, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, please, if you'd like to stand while we read the Word of God. When I go home at night, I don't sneak around with a bunch of other stuff and say, well, you know, I just believe the Bible for their sake, and this is what I really believe. No, I believe the book. I believe this Bible. This is God's Word. It is the absolute authority that judges every priest, every preacher, every pope, every king, every president, every queen, every person that has ever lived. Time past, present, and future, this book is our judge. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be to you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. In thy name I pray, Father, let me preach Christ this morning. That's who you put upon my heart. Preach him, Heavenly Father, as he is in his glory and his power. In Jesus' name, move with this congregation, this auditorium. And Heavenly Father, for a while this morning, let us understand, Lord, we're not standing on the earth, but we're standing before thee. And God, come into this house as you promised, for it to be a habitation of God by the Spirit. And let the sweet Holy Ghost today come down upon us in power, as he did in Acts chapter number 2. We invite you into this place. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You can be seated. The book of Revelation is one of the most mysterious books ever written on the face of this earth, bar none. Even outside the Bible itself, find any piece of literature that you can find, and you'll take the book of Revelation and lay it down next to it, and you'll find a book that is mysterious, it's mystical. It reaches back into the past, speaks of the present, and looks into the future. The book of Revelation is a remarkable book. It is the 66th book of the Holy Bible. It is the last book written in Scripture. Somewhere between 90 and 95 A.D., the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, being exiled under the reign of Domitian, wrote the book of Revelation. It was written as it was dictated to him. He wrote of things that he saw, not of things that he was told about. He wrote of what he experienced, not of what someone else may have said. The book of Revelation is therefore the first-hand experience of the Apostle John. This is one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Walked with him, talked with him, sat with him by the Sea of Galilee. One who knew him personally and knew him intimately. The Apostle John was one of the 12. He was one of the handpicked of the Lord. One of the apostles of the Lamb. One that was, knew him in a way that no one else knew him, save those who were with him while he was here on this earth. But John was given a unique privilege. The Apostle John was allowed to see the Lord Jesus Christ in two senses. In the God-man that walked upon this earth for 33 and one half years. But he also saw him as the glorified Savior. The one seated at the right hand of Almighty God. The Apostle John knew him when he died on the cross and stood there. And he held the mother of Christ by his side and heard the voice of the Lord Jesus say to him, John, behold thy mother and behold thy son. And from that day he took mother. He took Mary, the mother of Christ, with him to his house. But it was also John who saw him as the coming King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To watch him die on the cross is one thing, but to see him come as the risen Lord God Almighty is something else indeed. To see him through his passion, his suffering, the Apostle John experienced that firsthand. But now he sees in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8, he gives him a title that can only be given to one. Only one can be called the Almighty. And he called him the Almighty. When John said that to me, I say to myself, there must be more to the Lord Jesus Christ than you can ever hear preached in 10,000 lifetimes. If he's the Almighty, there's none greater than him. If he's the Almighty, there's none higher than him. If he's the Almighty, there's none with more power and authority than him. If he's the Almighty, he's the judge and king of the universe. And Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8 says, he's the Almighty. Look about you, see what's happening. Compare what you see with the physical eye. But the Word of God goes much further than what your eye could ever see. It unveils the future. It pulls back the curtain. It tells you what to expect. And I look about me this short time that I've lived on this earth, and I say to you that this Bible is true in every sense of the word. The book of Revelation speaks of that which was, which is, and which is to come, encompassing all aspects of time itself. Time and space are in the book of Revelation. It's like all the books of the Bible are leading up to this final book, for this final book carries you off into eternity. It carries you off into heaven. It carries you off into the great white throne judgment, and it gives you a view and a picture of hell itself when it's cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. There's no other book like the book of Revelation. Though it's the last book in the Bible, my friend, there are none greater. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto his servants. It wants to tell us about him. It wants to unveil him to us. It's almost as if the Bible says, you've read 65 books. Now here is the 66th book, and this is a book about Jesus Christ. It is about Jesus Christ. All 22 chapters are about the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapters number 1 through 5 have him dealing with the church. He's judging the church as he walks in its midst. Chapter number 6 through 18 has to do with what's happening here on this earth, and you're living in the very days right before these things are going to transpire upon this earth. Chapter number 19, he says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he that judge and make war, and his name is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The 20th chapter of the book of Revelation opens up into a place that no eye has ever seen. For he said, I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon him, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away. This is the Almighty of Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8. It's the one that all of humanity will walk before one day and be judged for their sins. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, every sin you've ever committed, every deed you've ever done, everything that's ever transpired in your life will be judged on that day, and it'll be judged by the Almighty. That's the one of Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And then he said, I saw a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, what a marvelous thing. The book of Revelation talks about the past. That's where we are now. It talks about the present. That's where we're headed. And then it talks about the future. And my friend, it speaks of it in the sense that there's one controlling every event of time. Time past, time present, and time future. Nothing is happening by chance. Nothing is just happening. Everything that happens is happening because of the Word of the living God, which abideth forever, which is Jesus Christ. And he alone is the one who controls and pulls the strings of time. In Revelation chapter number 1, he said, I am the Almighty. I like that terminology. I like it when God says I'm the Almighty. That tells me that no problem I've ever had or ever will have is too big for him. It tells me that no sin is too great for him. It tells me that no lost life is too lost for him. It tells me that no hell that I ever dig for myself is too deep that he can't pull me out of. It tells me that no power, wicked or whatever it might be, is too great for him. He said, I am the Almighty. I live in a time when I'm about to see the Antichrist as he steps out on the stage of time. I've
probably already seen him. He just hasn't been revealed yet. Too many things are happening. Too much stuff is going on. You've got to be blind leader of the blind not to realize you live in changing times. You live in desperate times. You live in a time when a lot of men and women would have given anything to see what you're seeing right now. You're watching governments as they come together to form a one world union. You're watching the dollar as it nosedives in preparation for a one world currency. You're watching the sovereignty of the United States of America being eaten away day by day. The politicians you've elected to office and sent to Washington, D.C. are betraying your trust one after another. You live in a time when nobody trusts anybody, a time when nobody believes anybody, a time when, my friend, they call light dark and dark light, good evil and evil good, up down and down up. In plainer words, everything's been turned on its head and you don't know who to believe. Believe the Bible. The Bible told you it'd be like this. You say, sometimes we're so asleep, sometimes so stupid, sometimes in such stupor that it is hard to imagine that the Word of God is being fulfilled right before your very eyes. It is so profound what could happen in just the next few months. It is such a thing to consider that this world may be cast into a war like it's never known before, and it could happen in just a few short weeks. We live in profound times, but I'm glad that Bible said, I am the Almighty. Oh, what a thing. The last book in the Bible tells you not to fear. Fear is for those who live on the earth that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear is for the man who trusts in man. Fear is for the man who has money in his pocket and thinks that's the answer to his problems. Fear is in the man that doesn't know the Lord. But I'll tell you right now, he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I thee. It is the peace of God. It is the peace that says, I know who the Almighty is. I know who holds eternity. I know who eternity is. And the book of Revelation is full of that and prepares us for that day. Do you know the Almighty? That's the question. In Revelation chapter number 13, he said, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads. And that beast is a composite creature. It's made up of a lion, and it's made up of a leopard. It's made up, my friend, of all kinds of beasts. And this thing comes out upon the face of the earth, and it deceives all of them that dwell upon the earth. You're living in the time of deception. How many of you this morning believe you live in a time of deception? Time of deception is preceded by a time nobody trusts anybody, nobody believes anybody, everybody's a liar. And the truth of the matter is, if you give me 100 politicians in this house this morning, I might believe one or two of them, and the rest of them are consummate liars. It is a age of deception. It is a time when the blind lead the blind. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 that he will send a strong delusion, that they will believe a lie and be damned. This is the part that man can't control. Sure, he can deceive his neighbor. Sure, he can deceive someone else. But the Bible says in the last days, men shall be deceiving them all, their own selves, deceiving others plus themselves. This is where we live. We live in a time when they can see the judgment of God coming, yet they can't do anything about it. They've fallen under the power of the Antichrist. They'll trust a man more than they do the Almighty God who said it's going to happen. Friend, wake up! Wake up! You have to have the bombs drop in your front yard before you'll start listening. This world is on the edge of an apocalypse. This world is on the edge of changing completely. We are about to enter into an age the world has never been in before. But hallelujah to God, he said in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8, I am the Almighty. That tells me there's protection in the name of Jesus. That tells me there's power in the name of Jesus. That tells me there's deliverance in the name of Jesus. That tells me there's a future in the name of Jesus. Are you afraid of what's coming? The Bible says the time is going to come when men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of those things coming upon the earth. What does that mean, preacher? It means that they've seen so much and they see what's coming that they know what's coming is worse than what's already happened. And their heart can't stand up to it. I'm glad Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Almighty. He said, any man that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Red man, yellow man, black man, white man, blue man, pink man, red man, green man. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not cast you out. Well, preacher, why would I want to come to him? First of all, you want to come to him because you're laden with your sins, that's why. Because you're a sinner, that's why. Because you're condemned in your sins. If you die in your sins, you'll be judged in your sins. And your sins will send you to hellfire. Notice I didn't just say hell. I said hellfire. To say hell is separation from God is a Mickey Mouse, Hollywood, Disneyland statement that has no meaning in fact. When the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell in Luke 16, he said, I am tormented in these. So therefore send Lazarus, that he might dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. For I am tormented in these flames. And hell's not the end of it. If you die in your sins without the Lord Jesus Christ, die and go off into eternity without the Lord, one day the very hell that you're in will be taken and cast into a lake of fire and brimstone. The human mind cannot comprehend that. I cannot comprehend the immensity of eternity. I cannot take into my heart what it means to be from everlasting to everlasting, because I'm a creature of time. But one day I'll leave this element of time. One day I'll leave this place of time and I'll step into eternity. And when I go off into eternity, and I may go tonight, I may go tomorrow, I may go next week, it may be a year from now, it may be 10 years, I don't know. I don't believe it'll be long before the Lord comes back. But when I go into eternity, there's no looking back. Because it's forever and ever and ever and ever. When I go off into eternity and realize that I am with my Lord Jesus Christ, and with the saints of God and the glory of God, and it'll never change. It'll never be taken away. It'll never cease. That is glory, glory, glory. He said in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8, I am the Almighty. That means he's able to make it happen. That means he's able to make heaven heaven for me. That means he's able to make a place in heaven for me. But it also means that if you're lost without God, that there is a place in hell for you. There are two reservations in this house this morning. Those who have reservations for heaven, a place in glory. He said, I have a home reserved for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself. That where you may be, where I am, there you may be also. What those young men say when they quoted John 14. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I'm glad those kids are getting God's word into the heart. It'll stick with them forever. Why? Because the word of God's forever, that's why. And the Bible said in John 14, he said to Thomas, who said, we know not the way, how can we know the way? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, the greatest name that's ever been said, the greatest name you'll ever hear. He's in control of eternity. Angels fall before him. Seraphim burn before him. All of creation one day will fall at the name of Jesus, for there is no greater name. Let me tell you something this morning. The answer to your sin is Jesus. The answer to your lost condition is Jesus. The answer to your religion is Jesus. Amen. There's no better name. J-E-S-U-S. You say, can he do all that for me, preacher? He can do more than you ever thought he could ever do. Once you experience salvation, you'll send everybody else around you. I never imagined that God could do something like this for somebody the way he changed me. The first mark of a born-again Christian is their desire to go out and tell people what a great thing God has just done for them. Sure, you can consider in your mind. Sure, you can mull it over in your thoughts and think about what it would be like to be saved. But until you've experienced it, you don't have a clue what it is to have 10,000 pounds lifted from your soul. What it is to have the life of God flood into your being. What it is, my friend, to step out of a world of hell into a world of light. All of a sudden, all the old filthy desires, all the old filthy hell that you lived in all of your life is gone. That's the new birth. Man had nothing to do with it. Revelation 1:8, he said, I am the Almighty. I suppose if I had the most favorite verse in all the Bible, I hard pressed, I love Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Oh, how I love Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. But Revelation 1:8, I'll tell you right now, you can't beat it. Revelation 1:8 is talking about Jesus. And he said, I am the Almighty. Almighty means all. What does it mean to you, preacher? I'll tell you what it meant to Abraham. He spoke to him in Revelation, in Genesis chapter number 17, and he said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. I am Almighty God. That's the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one that'll feed you tomorrow, clothe you, give you something to drink, put a roof over your head, give you peace in your soul, give you joy, give you power, give you victory in the Christian life. It's the Almighty. If we didn't have an Almighty One, we wouldn't have anything. Revelation chapter number 1, verse 8 says he's the Almighty. Revelation chapter number 13 says there is a coming Antichrist. You either marked this morning with the mark of God, or you're marked with the mark of hell. God's not interested in all the stuff running through your mind. You could sit down today and drop some theological treatise and talk about, I believe this, I don't care what you believe. Do you know Jesus? Is he in your heart? By telling me you believe a bunch of stuff, that doesn't mean a thing. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. They know there's a God. They know his name is Jesus. They know him in hell. You better believe in the halls of hell right now. The name of Jesus is everywhere. What else would be on the lips of a man or a woman died without God and gone to hell forever, but pleading to Jesus for mercy? In this old world, the name of Jesus is on countless millions of voices. And in heaven, for my goodness, friend, Jesus is everywhere. He's all over glory. What about all those saints that have gone home before us? They're saying the name of Jesus. 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 Say it in whatever language you want to. I guarantee you this. You can listen to somebody talk in a foreign language and not understand a word they say, but if they say the name Jesus, you'll catch it. I listened to a Russian the other day, and he was rattling off a bunch of Russian. I didn't understand a thing he said. Then he said, Hey, Sue. He said, Hey, Sue, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Jesus. Yeah. Hey, Sue. Jesus. Jesus. That sweet name. In your lonely hour, say the name of Jesus. In your temptation, say the name of Jesus. When you're hurting, say the name of Jesus. When you're falling or faltering, say the name of Jesus. When you think you have no hope, say the name of Jesus. We live in a time when teenagers are committing suicide right and left. They have a bad tendency to monkey see, monkey do. They don't think about what's really going on, like what they're throwing away, a life, precious gift of God. And they do it. Teenager, you don't think anybody loves you? You don't think there's a reason to live? Say the name of Jesus. Yes.
Just say it. Just say it. The moment you say it, the angels will hear it. So will the demons. The moment you say the name of Jesus, all heaven is hearing that name. The moment you say the name of Jesus, God will look back at you and say, what do you think about that name? When Pontius Pilate said to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? The Lord looked him right back in the eye. He wouldn't respond to anything but that one question. Veritas, veritas, Latin for truth. He looked into the eyes of the Lord Jesus and he said, what is truth? The Lord looked him in the eyeball and here's what he said to him. Take this home with you. He said, do you want to know? To paraphrase him, or did somebody else put you up to asking me? Do you want to know the truth, Pilate? Or did you just say it because it's part of your job? Or whatever other reason. Do you want to know the truth, blasphemer? Oh, you're an atheist. Are you really? You're an agnostic, not sure. Do you really want to know the truth?
Right.
Challenge him.
Right. Yep.
Challenge him. Amen. He loves challenges. Oh, boy. Who are you talking about? Challenge him. Try him, he said. Try me. You could preach a message on the times in the Bible. God said, put me to the test. Try me. You don't believe there's a God? Try him. You don't believe God loves you? Try him. You don't believe the name of Jesus has power? Try it. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm done. I've delivered what you put on my soul. Heavenly Father, I went the direction you wanted me to go. I preached what you gave me. There's somebody here this morning, Heavenly Father, that'll come very close to taking the mark of the beast. Then they'll stop and they'll refuse it. Hallelujah. But Lord, there may be somebody sitting here this morning who will go ahead and take the mark of the beast. God help them. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we pray now. We pray for every soul that heard this. God, I put the truth forth. I gave the truth out. The truth has gone forth. Will they receive it or reject it? In the name of Jesus, we pray. And for Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen. Let's stand up and sing this morning. They're going to sing.